Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And I really encourage people every day to go to that site because these teachings that we do every day are new every day, and they're their own teaching. And if this is the first time you've tuned in or just the latest time that you've tuned in, you're hearing a whole teaching in one day. But on the website there will be the transcript copy. We're really just a little devotional, not always all of what we say online, but on the radio. But right there'll be an outline basically for you. Like today's teaching is called Let the Garment Go, and we put it on our blog spot. You can find that by going on Daily Blog, and there you can listen to it and read it at the same time. That way, if you want to follow along with what we're going, or you really liked this but you don't have a CD burner or something like that, and you want to bring the teaching to somebody, you could copy it and email it, or we can send a PDF out to them, whatever you want us to do. Just email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. Well, again, today's teaching, friends, is called Let the Garment Go. And we're looking at the life of Joseph. Genesis 39:12 says that, you know, Potiphar's wife, she caught him by his garment saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And it's really an interesting story. Joseph, and if you read, you know, his life, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he was bought by Egyptians and brought down to there. And Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, he was an Egyptian, and he brought him down there, and Joseph was made to prosper there. And the master saw that, verse 3 there, that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made him all that he do to prosper, and Joseph found grace in his sight. I'm reading a little bit here, verse 4, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and he put everything into his hand. So Joseph, you know, was really a great guy and had favor with the Lord, and this guy knew it, and he put him in charge of everything because he was trustworthy and he was skilled, and everything he did was blessed, you know. Everything he touched turned to gold, as it were. In verse 5, it says, "It came to pass from the time that he had been made overseer in the house, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all he had in the house and in the field." And this guy probably realized that, you know, I put Joseph in charge, and look at all this thing that's happening here. And he put everything in Joseph's hand, you know. Everything was there. And Joseph was well favored. And then verse 7, you know, it came to pass after these things that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. That's what the King James says. And, you know, that means, you know, cast long eyes. She was looking at him. He was a real stud, I guess you'd say. And she said, "Sleep with me, no, lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master does not know. He's left everything in my house. There's nothing he's left behind. And he's committed everything to my hand. There's none greater than the house than I. And he hasn't kept anything back. But you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" he said. Interesting. We could preach on that. But she spake to Joseph day after day and said, you know, "Come on, come on." And she said, "No, no." He said, "No, no, 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 no." But one time he went there and none of the men of the house were with him at the moment. And she caught him by the garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and came out. And of course, you know what happened? She said, "Oh, he was trying to force me," and Potiphar threw him in the jail, and it was terrible. Of course, God turned that situation around too, and Joseph wound up being second in command of all of you know, Pharaoh's kingdom. He was in charge of everything. He was second in command. But, you know, he could have thought about that a long time. And, you know, the truth is that Joseph was second command of Israel, but you know what? I mean, of Egypt. And Potiphar was probably still thinking that, you know, "That guy, I can't believe this guy. You know, he tried to sleep with my wife." You see, sometimes we're never going to be validated or justified or recognized as being right by anyone but God. Doesn't it happen that way when you witness to somebody and they don't know what they're talking about, but they take that triumphal tone and you're supposed to be humble, and they walk away thinking they taught you some kind of lesson, and you know, you feel for them, but you want to be vindicated, you know? Think about the Peter, James, and John and the disciples in Luke chapter 9, and they are going through a town, and they don't want to listen to them, and they say, "Can we call down fire like Elijah did on them, Jesus?" And he goes, "You don't even know what you're talking about." But that's what we want to do. We want to validate ourselves, you know? We want to say, you know, we're doing it right, and you ought to bow the knee to that. But the scriptures depict many righteous men and women being falsely accused. You know, Stephen and others, and Jesus, you know, they trumped up charges. Sometimes we're vindicated, and sometimes from an earth perspective, they're not. Now, consider Joseph again. Potiphar's wife had accused him, but he was an innocent man. Yet she had the garment. Aha. And even though there weren't men with him at the time, they probably saw him running away out of the house, you know. She was royalty. He was a slave. It would be her word against his. She was there, you know, and she's supposed to be there. She's the Potiphar's wife. And yet here's this guy running out of the house naked. She's holding the garment going, "Oh, he tried to force me. You know, he tried to take me and rape me." And so there was the claim of a more credible person of reputation. She had a better reputation than he did. I mean, even though he was second in command or at that house, still, there was the physical evidence. And again, there's probably other witnesses to his fleeing the scene of the supposed crime. By all appearances, it would seem that Joseph was guilty. We always talk about how Joseph was vindicated, you know, how he rose to fame and power, how he got out of the pit and out of the prison and into Pharaoh's highest courts. He was vindicated for his father and his brothers. You remember that. However, we may have forgotten that Potiphar never saw him as right. There may be people that you will never look right to, no matter what you do with your life. You know, those people that, you know, it says in 1 Peter that they're going to think you're crazy because you don't run with them anymore. I've told people many times that, you know, I've got a face made for radio, but if I ever get on the television or get famous or something like that, there will be people that say, "Not that guy. He did this, he did that. No way. He's got to be a charlatan. He's got to be fooling around. He's got to be a trickster, a huckster, or whatever it is, because I knew who that guy was." Because they don't know the power of God, that God can change people. And that happens even in the Christian world, where you get accused of something and you didn't do it. Someone made it up, or they thought they saw something, they didn't see it, or people go on other people's gossip. Oh boy. You know how it is? And then you just want to fight for your rights and all that. But again, there's some people that no matter what you do, you're not going to look good to them. And they're going to have evidence. You know, they'll be holding the garment. People who saw you seeming like you were in the wrong place at the wrong times. But sometimes, friends, you got to let the garment go. You can't worry about vindicating yourself. You have to let God vindicate you. And the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And you're working as to the Lord, as unto the Lord, and not as to men pleasers. And sometimes that means you got to look bad. Isn't that funny? Now, I don't like to give secular illustrations all the time, but remember there was a movie out with Batman in it, you know, The Dark Knight, and at the end, he didn't want one of the guys to look bad, so he took the role of bad guy, even though he was innocent, because that's what he had to do. And I'm not suggesting you take on a yoke that's not yours, but sometimes people are going to accuse you, and there's nothing really you can say, because it looks like you're wrong, and you're not, and you know it, but they don't know it. But you know what, friend? God does. Sometimes you have to let the garment go. People saw him run away and saw how she had the garment. You might say, well, Joseph got out of the prison. Yes, he did get out of the prison. But that was from the hand of Pharaoh, not Potiphar. It was likely that Potiphar, you know, held the charge against Joseph his whole life. But Joseph had to let the garment go and let God take care of it. You know, you can imagine him at society parties after that, where Joseph is second in command, and there's Potiphar looking at him going, "Yeah, you swine. You got there by illegitimate means," right? He went to prison just like he went into the pit. An innocent man. That's Joseph's life. He went into the pit, but he wasn't guilty. He went into the prison, but he wasn't guilty. God got him out. But he wasn't vindicated in the way he might have wanted to be had he wanted to hold on to the garment. You see, we want to be vindicated the way we want to and not let God work his purposes in our life. This is a huge thing in the Christian life. You probably need to listen to this one again. You see, God may not redress the matter now, but he will judge the matter and deal with it righteously in the final analysis. There's some things we can't control, folks. In the Christian life, we may have to let go of friends and family and fame and fortune if it's going to ensnare us in sin. Are you holding on to your self-respect and worried over the views of others when you're accused wrongly for the sake of Christ? Do you feel like you got to be justified and that the garment justifies you in your case? You know, you hold on to that email for 50 years because you know you're going to need it later. Right? Are you concerned that God might allow you to look bad, get fired, or lose your reputation? Wow. Think about that. But I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know, it's not like you don't try to prove that you're right, but sometimes you got to let the garment go. Again, it's not a license to not care about what others think at all. You know, we are supposed to avoid all appearance of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. But sometimes it's out of our control. Joseph couldn't do anything about it. He had to flee. And God is proving whether we'll flee from sin or try to hold on to the garment of our own self-vindication. See, sometimes it's better to be accused wrongly when you're not wrong than to try to prove yourself and double, you know, compound the thing. The Bible says if you're persecuted for wrongdoing, this is Book of Peter again, 1 Peter, then what good is it if you suffer for it? But if you do right and suffer for it, that is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Did you hear what I said? You want to get more grace, then sometimes you got to suffer for things that you didn't do. People call you a fool or call you just a, you know, fundamentalist or, you know, accuse you of stealing and do things that they did. They're trying to put on you because they know you won't fight back and things like that. And sometimes, friend, it is best just to let the garment go. I mean, this is a lesson that you need to learn because, again, Joseph, when he had his brothers where he wanted them, he could have been vindictive, but he wasn't. He let that go. When you're going to reconcile with someone, do you now put that in a paper bag and say, well, I'll reconcile with them, but boy, if they get any close to me, I'm going to whop them upside the head with that thing. Right? Isn't it just that you want the situation to get better and you don't have to bring this old past up? Can't you let the garment go? Can you let it be where you don't have to worry about your reputation, but you worry about the reputation of Jesus Christ? And if you were to sit there and fight with people over some petty little thing just to prove that you were right and win the argument or whatever and make Christ look bad, you think about what I'm talking about here. Jesus Christ was accused falsely, right? And yet he suffered and didn't answer back. And he left an example that we would follow in his footsteps. Maybe I should just go ahead and turn to those verses here because I alluded to them and you need to hear them. You need to hear them because people talk about bad bosses and all that kind of stuff and they think, well, you know, it's not it's not right. It's not right for him to treat me bad and to do all these things. I can't let that happen. But listen to this. In 1 Peter 2:18, it says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." In other words, also to the harsh. "For this is thankworthy." This is commendable. "If a man for conscience suffers towards God, endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your fault, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer it, you take it patiently, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For we were called unto this, and Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps." That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. And it said in verse 22, "He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committeth himself to him that judges righteously." So you need to commit yourself to God, and you need to let the garment go. Well, that's all the time we have this time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
Yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.